Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is always a joy to be back here in the pulpit. And as Steve was saying, actually last time I was here was 2 years ago. And that was when Pastor Paul and Diane, they were in Texas. And so now they're back in Texas and I'm back in the pulpit. I don't know if we're starting a tradition or if Paul, he's trying to get enough distance in case something go down when I'm here. You can't pick up rocks and throw them at him. Not quite sure, but it's a privilege and honor to be back with you all this morning. Pastor Randy, he brought it to my attention that Dan Duran, he passed away, I believe, yesterday. So please be in prayer for Vicky. Doing this season, but it's time. As we open God's Word today, I want us to look at how God, He relates to us as our Heavenly Father. And I believe that this topic gets too little attention, although it is probably one of the most important truths we can understand as Christians. In fact, the well-respected theologian J.I. Packer, he said, "If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, finds out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his father. If this is not the thought that prompts and controls his worship and prayers and his whole outlook on life, it means that he does not understand Christianity very well at all." A Packer, he is absolutely right. And I cannot tell you how much it has changed my life and my relationship with God, understanding how He relates to me as my Heavenly Father. And I believe it will have the same effect on you today if you're willing and open to learn and to grow as we're together. So let's bow our heads and pray and ask that God will bless our time together this morning. Father in heaven, I thank you that you have given us this great privilege of being together on this Sunday morning, the Lord's Day. We thank you that Christ is our Lord and Savior, that he is risen, he is alive, and that in him we have eternal life. Father, we acknowledge that you are the great creator of this universe. You sustain everything by your power, and you are the sovereign God. You are mighty, you are big, but yet you are also very near to us. And I pray today that you may help us understand more of how you relate to us as our loving Heavenly Father. I pray, Father, that we may be transformed by your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. A preacher, he once told a story about his relationship to his father. He said, "When I was learning how to sail, Dad would often say to me, 'Go ahead and take the boat out, but take a friend with you. A big sailboat on a big lake the size of Lake Michigan is a big responsibility. But I would find a junior high friend and we will sail past the breakwater, hoist the sail, and head out to open water. If I saw any cloud formation coming our way or the wind seems to be piping up, I would head back to shore. Take the sail down and regain my normal breathing pattern only when we were safely tied up in the slip. Most of the time, it was fun having a friend along, but in a storm, I knew the kit wouldn't be much help. Other times, my dad would come home from work and we would take out the boat together. When I was sailing with my dad, I would actually look for cloud formation and hope for heavy air. I loved the feel of the strong wind and huge waves when I was with him. My dad had sailed across the Atlantic Ocean. He had endured 5 days of sailing through a hurricane. He was a veteran, and I was confident that he would be able to handle anything Lake Michigan could throw at us." And then he said, "Everything changed when my dad was on board." This man, he clearly trusted his dad because he had an intimate relationship with him. He knew his father, he knew his abilities, he knew his character, he knew what he was capable of doing even through the most difficult circumstances, and that really helped him to hold on when the ride got rough. I think it's a good picture of what our relationship should be to our Heavenly Father. But the fact is this always the reality in our lives? I often think the answer, sadly, is no. Many Christians, they say that God, He's their Heavenly Father, but in reality, they live like orphans. They live like they don't have a close relationship with their Heavenly Father. Now, maybe that describes your relationship with God this morning, and there can be many reasons why your relationship with God is like that. You might simply have an inadequate understanding of how God relates to you as your Heavenly Father. Or you might feel that God, He's very far. He's very distant. You know, when you hear the word God, it's almost an impersonal word, God. And it can, sometimes feels like He's out there, but we're kind of here. And that means that sometimes it's easy to feel that God, He's not personally involved in our lives, or He even cares about our daily struggles. Maybe you're like me and didn't grow up with a wonderful relationship with your father. And there can be many reasons. Maybe you grew up with an abusive father who, whether verbally or physically. Maybe you grew up with an absent dad who was never home. Or maybe you grew up with a dad who didn't seem to have cared for you or your family altogether. Or maybe you grew up with a dad without a dad altogether for many various reasons. And if that's you, you know that sometimes these negative experiences with our earthly father can make it hard for us to relate to our Heavenly Father. But let's be honest, not all fathers are a good example of what a father should be like. And even the best father is not perfect. That's why I want to paint a biblical portrait of our Heavenly Father, who is the perfect father to us. So today I want us to look at five ways God, He relates to us as our Heavenly Father. And I really hope that, and it's my heart's desire, that this teaching will challenge your perspective of God and also the way that you then in turn relates to Him. So let's look at it. Five ways that God relates to us as our Heavenly Father. First, our Heavenly Father, He sacrificially loves us. The gospel is probably the greatest example and display of God's love towards us. Romans 5 captures the essence of God's love in the gospel to us when it says, "But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ, He died for us." I don't know about you, but to me, that is probably the most astonishing. That is the most astonishing truth and reality in all the universe. That while we were dead in our trespasses and sins, while there was nothing to love in us, while we were at our absolute worst, God, He reached out to save us. He loved us so much that He sent Christ to die for all the sins that we have committed. He bore the full wrath of God in our place. He took our punishment. He gave us what we did not deserve. He gave us eternal life. He forgave us our sins. He made us alive together with Christ. He lavished His goodness upon us. He showed us His incredible kindness. And then on top of all that, God didn't just say, "Okay, now you're justified. Now you're redeemed. You know, leave as an orphan." No. On top of all that, God, He adopted us into His families and gave us all the privileges as His children. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." Do you realize that at the day of your salvation, God became your Father, you became His child, and He began relating to you as your Heavenly Father? The adoption into God's family is only possible because the precious blood of Christ was shed for you and for me. Galatians 4:4-6, it gives us an even closer look into this adoption process, which really shows us just the grand scale of God's love. It says, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. We are no longer slaves in bondage to sin and Satan, but we have been freed by Christ and have become children of God. And now we enjoy all the rights and the privileges our adoptions entail because we have come to know God as our Father in Christ. And we can call God our Abba Father. We don't usually use that term in English, but it's really just like saying daddy. It's a word of intimacy. I love when I come home from work and my little daughter, Luana, she come running to me and she's like, Daddy! That's just the best. And there isn't quite anything like a daddy, like a father that you have a close and loving, intimate relationship with. But here's the thing, in fact, it gets even better. Do you know to what extent God, He loves us? We find the answer in Romans 8, 38 and 39. The Apostle Paul, he declared, For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created things will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In other words, God's love is unbreakable, unchangeable. God's love is everlasting. Even when we are unfaithful to God, because that happens, He will never be unfaithful to us. He is faithful. Even when we fight sin and doubt, He will continue to love us. And sometime in life, people, they will pull back, and you have experienced that, and I've experienced that. People pull back and said, I don't love you anymore. But God, He would never, ever say that to us because of Christ. To be honest with you, when I think about that, and even as I was preparing this, I was like, I don't even know how to control my emotion. I don't even know how to react to this reality. I feel like the psalmist who said, such knowledge is so high that I cannot attain it. So when we think about God's sacrificial love towards us as His children, it should draw us close to God. It should be like a magnet that just makes us want to be close to God. Say, this God who knows us, loves us so much, I want to know Him. I really intimately want to know this God who loved me so much. So our Heavenly Father, He sacrificially loves us as His children. And He also deeply cares for us. And that's the second way He relates to us. Our Heavenly Father deeply cares for us. Now we learn this amazing reality in 1 Peter. And many of you know that 1 Peter was written to Christians. It was written to encourage Christians who were facing difficulties in life and persecution. And as Peter, he comes to a close in his letters, he gives several commandments. And one of the commandments relates directly to our relationship with our Heavenly Father. 1 Peter 5:7. You probably want to underline that. 1 Peter 5:7, it says, Cast all your anxiety on Him, on God, because He cares for you. God, He cares for each one of us individually. He cares for you, Dennis. He cares for you, Alicia. He cares for you, Sandy. He cares for you, Pat. He cares for us individually. You could say, He cares for me. And that would be biblically correct to say that. And your Heavenly Father, He is telling us to cast all your worries and all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. He says, cast it on me. Give it to me. Trust me with it because I care for you. Isn't it comforting to know that God cares for us personally? How often do you find yourself anxious or fearful or worried? There's many things we can worry about. We can worry about our life, about people, what people might say about us, our past, what we have done in the past that might even affect the present, about our future, what's going to happen in the future. You might worry about your family, your work, your boss, your friendships, your struggles, your health, your sickness, your loneliness, your checkbooks, your looks, or even your reputation. In fact, what are you worrying about right now, today? February 23rd, 2020, today, what are you worrying about? Your Heavenly Father, He doesn't want you to carry that around all by yourself, all these worries and stresses and daily struggles. He wants you to come to Him and cast all these anxieties on Him. Now you might say, okay, Miguel, that all sounds great, but how do I do that? Well, it's very simple. We do that by trusting Him and His sovereign care and control of our lives. Now that is by far easier said than done, but it is a simple truth that when applied has profound impact on our lives and our relationship with God. Now Jesus, He also taught us this in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 6:25-34, Jesus, He talks about worry, and He tells His disciples, do not worry. He says that three times in this passage. When you get something three times, it's very important. It's like you highlight it, underline it, bold it, and put your markers all over it. It's very important. So Jesus, He did not only tell us not to worry, but He also told us why not to worry. In verse 31 and 32, He tells us, do not worry then, saying, but what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will I wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. But your Heavenly Father, He knows you need all these things. Now, sometimes when we read the Bible, it's important and it's kind of helpful to see, look at what is not said. Jesus, He didn't say, God, who's far, far away, might have some sort of idea about what you maybe need. He didn't say anything like that. Jesus, He spoke in personal and intimate terms when He said, your Heavenly Father knows what you need. We are all struggling with many different things. I'm struggling with many different things. Just because I'm here does not mean by any means that I have it all together. And I know that you guys are struggling as well. I weekly read the prayer request that you submit, and I pray for you. And I know that you're struggling. I know that many of you, for example, are facing severe illnesses. You or your relatives, like aggressive cancer. And to be honest, sometimes it's easy probably to feel helpless or feel like that nobody really fully understands what you are going through. Or you might just be in a point even today where you just feel like, you know what, I just want to give up. It's too much for me to bear. But I want you to know without a doubt that your Heavenly Father, He fully understands your current suffering, your pain, your fears, your disappointment, your doubt. He knows exactly what you're going through down to the smallest detail, and He wants you to come to Him with it because He cares for you. He's all sufficient for your needs. He's always faithful, and He is sovereignly in control of your life. Now, I know I kind of underlined this whole point quite a bit, but I think it is so important for us to understand when we consider that God is our Heavenly Father. And I hope this comforts you. It surely comforts me to know that God cares for me, and I cannot tell you the profound impact that it has had on my life through my struggles when I consider that God cares for me. Now, someone once said, I really like this, when you feel like you're drowning in life, don't worry, your lifeguard walks on water. Literally. Now, God's care is not in a vacuum. He doesn't just lend us an ear, but He will provide for our needs according to His perfect will, whether physically, emotionally, and spiritually, And that's the third way that God relates to us as our Heavenly Father. So our Heavenly Father, He generously provides for us. A father usually finds much joy in providing for their children, and all good fathers want to provide what is good for their loved ones. Now Jesus, He used this reality to explain God's goodness in Matthew 7:11. He said, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him?" Now God's goodness is far greater than any earthly father, and He wants you to ask Him about your needs because He cares for you, and He will provide for you. And Jesus, He wasn't kidding when He told His disciple to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." In this passage, He taught us to lay our needs before. Before who? How does Jesus begin this prayer, the Lord's Prayer? If you know it, say it with me here. "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name." So Jesus, He taught us to lay our needs before our Heavenly Father with assurance that He will provide for our needs according to His perfect will. It's that simple. If you're here in Christ, I want to encourage you. God, He listens to all your prayers. Now, sometimes He answers according to your prayers. Sometimes He answers differently. And sometimes He doesn't answer at all, which is also an answer in itself. But even that should make us rejoice because He knows what is best for us. That's what Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, he highlighted when he said, "I am profoundly grateful to God that He did not grant me certain things for which I ask, and that He shut certain doors in my face." How can you say that? Well, he could say that because he knew that God knows what is best for His children in all circumstances. Or as Jerry Bridges, he commented, and if you want to take a picture of a quote, this is a great quote to take a picture of. "God, in His love, always wills what is best for us. In His wisdom, He always knows what is best for us. And in His sovereignty, He has the power to bring it about." The fact that God, our Heavenly Father, can and will generously provide for us should radically change our prayer life. When was the last time that you went on your knees and prayed to your Father in heaven? I mean, last week, Paul, he taught us about seeking wisdom. Do you seek wisdom? Well, then go to your Father in heaven and He will grant it to you. Or do you need a job? Then pray to your Heavenly Father. Just this week, Susan Lowe, she came and she told us that she had gotten a new job at the Open Arms Pregnancy Center. And she was all happy, all excited when she came talking about it. And we have been praying for her for some time for this job. And we had been trusting that God in His providence would allow it to come through if it was His will. Now, the job here, this is the great thing. The job is a perfect fit for Susan. It fits her skill set and even her educational background perfectly. And at the job interview, they asked her how much she wanted to make. So she was like, "Well, a couple of millions, you know, a month." No, she didn't say that. She gave them a number. She gave them the amount that she had been thinking about. And then the lady said that that was the exact amount that they have budgeted for that position. And when I heard that, I was like, pop, God. It just said God all over it, you know. You're just seeing God's hand through that. So again, why do I share this with you? Why do I share her story? Well, one, we should rejoice with her, praise God for giving her a job. But also, I want you to have the trust and the confidence that when you come before your Father, He will listen to your prayers. Again, according to His good will. Now prayer, I think sometimes has kind of a bad rep. It's almost like, "Oh, I prayed." Now, prayer is not just a checklist to be checked or a task to be accomplished. But prayer is a privilege of intimate communion between a child and his father, between you and your father. And in Christ, you have the full confidence in God's presence. So I just want to encourage you, be bold. Because God will listen to you and he will provide for your needs as a good father. Now, one specific way that God, he has provided for us is by giving us his words, which guides us and teaches us what to believe and how to live our life. And that's the fourth way God, he relates to us as our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father, he wisely guides us. Our Heavenly Father wisely guides us. I praise God to be a part of a church that believes that the Bible is the inerrant, inspired, authoritative word of God. We are all very familiar with 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, which speaks about the inspiration of Scripture. It says, all Scripture is inspired, or God breathed, inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Have you ever considered these verses from a parent's perspective? As parents, we want to teach our children what is good and what is right. And then when they, which they do, go off track and they start doing something they shouldn't do, we reprove them and we correct them to bring them right back on track. And then we train them in doing what is right and what is good in order for them to be fully equipped for every good work. Well, that's exactly what our Heavenly Father, he is doing when he speaks to us through his word. He instructs us, he encourages us, and we really need that encouragement. He strengthens us, he rebukes us, he comforts us, and he guides us. As the psalmist said, his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. But let me ask you this question. When you pick up your Bible for your daily devotion, do you ever consider what's about to take place? Now you might think, sure, okay, I'm opening my cow-smelling cover and I'm about to read ink on white paper. We get that. But do you ever consider who is about to speak to you? Do you consider that the words that you're reading is from no other than your Heavenly Father who loves you, who deeply cares for you, and who lovingly wants to speak to you through his word? Do you consciously believe and think about the fact that your Heavenly Father is speaking directly to you through his word? I mean, isn't it mind-blowing to think about that the God who created the universe, he's really big, he is intimately speaking through to us through his word. When I think about that, it blows my mind. I'm like, why would he even want anything to do with me? Why would he want to speak to me? But in Christ, we have hope. As a loving Father, God really wants what is best for us. But the question is, do we listen to him? Some time ago, I was teaching my daughter, Kalia, how to ride her bike. So we took her bike out into the church parking lot. I put her on the bike and I let her go. And she was riding her bike for the first time, and I was proud of that and all that. You know, it was a pretty big moment. Now, at some point, Kalia, my daughter, she wanted to turn right. So she took the steering wheel and she turned right. Now, you know what happens when you take your steering wheel and you turn right like that. You fall. And she did. So I ran over to her and I picked her up, and she was crying. And I kissed her bruises, which, by the way, miraculously take away the pain. Somehow, I don't really know how it works. It just works. Then I looked at her and I said, baby, sweetie, when you want to turn either right or left, you have to turn slowly, because otherwise your bike is going to crash and you are going to hurt yourself. So all motivated and encouraged, Kalia, she jumped back on her bike. I pushed her again. And as she's going, she then turns her steering wheel just slowly to the right. And then she just cruised off. And as I was looking at that, I thought, here's a sermon illustration. Now, this incident reminded me that we sometimes think we know what is best for us, but we often end up hurting ourselves and even others. But our Heavenly Father, he knows what is best for us, and he daily speaks to us through his word. My question to you is, do you seek your Father's wisdom and guidance so that you can live to his glory, or are you so foolishly trying to navigate life on your own? When I was thinking about this, I have this burden in my heart because I'm so concerned that too many Christians, they just read the Word every day without any consideration for who is speaking, what is being said, what they're learning. You know the Bible reading plans, you read through the Bible in a year? I think it's great. But I often think it can be, okay, I read a chapter and I'm good and you continue on. But if you ask the same person, what did you read this morning? They'll say, well, I don't know. Well, that shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be like that. We shouldn't read the Word without any concern for what our Heavenly Father is so lovingly speaking to us. So let that not be true of us. I want to encourage you, begin reading Scripture for what it is. Your Heavenly Father's loving Word to you personally. Now God, He also guides us through His Word. But what does He do when we don't listen to Him? In other words, what might He do when we disobey Him? And that leads us to our fifth and final way God, He relates to us as our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father lovingly disciplines us. Now, it's a fact that kids do not like discipline. In fact, if we went to the children's building and we did a do you like your parents' discipline kind of yes-no survey, I think the answer would be quite evident. There might be that one weird child, but the answer would be evident. But let me ask you this question. Who loves his child more? The father who allows the child to do what will harm him, or the one who corrects, trains, and even disciplines the child to help him learn what is right? Well, in the same way, our Heavenly Father at times disciplines us. Hebrews 12 speaks about God's discipline for his children and his heart behind it. Verse 11 captures the essence of it when it says, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful, yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So as earthly fathers should do, so our Heavenly Father, He lovingly disciplines us when we ignore His command or just plain out disobey Him in order to train us in righteousness. Now I think a good question is to ask, what does His discipline look like? Well, there is the cause and effect. If we do something sinful, God may allow us to reap the negative consequences. He might allow hardship in our lives for certain decisions that we have made to show us that we have gone off track and then to bring us back. At one point in my life, and I say this honestly to my shame, I ended up moving my little child and my pregnant wife all the way from Denmark to Mexico. Because I was stubborn against God's will for my life. I knew that God had called me to full-time ministry, no doubt, but I was pursuing making money instead. And I was doing well. I call it my dark Jonah period. It really was like that. When I think about it, for my physically, emotionally, spiritually, every way in my life, it was the lowest and just most depressing point in my Christian life. But my Heavenly Father, He was using it to humble me, to show me that I've gone off course, and to bring me back on track. It was a very humbling experience, and it hurt. But God, He taught me a necessary lesson that forever changed the course of my life. So we should always trust that our Heavenly Father is helping us grow in Christlikeness, even through difficult and painful circumstances. But let me say this. This doesn't mean, of course, that all hardship in our life is God disciplining us. But when God is disciplining us, and let's be honest, I think we know when, let's do two things. First, let's see it as a proof of God's love for us. But then second, we should also ask God what He's trying to teach us through it. So, to wrap up here this morning, if you're still awake, hope so. We have learned that if you are in Christ, you are definitely not an orphan. The Scripture teaches us that we can have a warm, affectionate, personal relationship with God. A relationship that goes far beyond just acknowledging God as the one who created us or someone who gives us good commands to live by, to make our lives happy. Now, we are children in God's eyes, and we enjoy this special relationship and love only a father and his children, they can enjoy. We're not just servants having a master, but we have sons and daughters having a father who sacrificially loves us, deeply cares for us, generously provides for us, wisely guides us, and lovingly disciplines us. Before we end here this morning, let me just give you some quick takeaways from this message. If you're a believer here this morning, I hope that understanding how God relates to you as your Heavenly Father has changed your perspective of Him and also the way that you're going to relate to Him in the future. Let me just give you a couple of points here. And knowing that your Heavenly Father loves you, sacrificially loves you as His child with a love that never changes, it should give you much comfort. And like I said, it should produce a longing in your heart to want to know this amazing God who loves you so much. Knowing that your Heavenly Father deeply cares for you should make you trust in Him. Trust Him and hold on to Him no matter what you're facing in life. Knowing that your Heavenly Father generously provides for you should make you pray with boldness to Him and earnestly seek intimate communion with Him. Knowing that your Heavenly Father wisely guides you and personally speaks to you through His Word should make you long for it. And it should make you want to spend hours and hours and hours in the Word to get to know your Father in heaven. Knowing that your Heavenly Father lovingly disciplines you to make you grow in righteousness should make you examine yourself and ask yourself, maybe even today, what is God trying to teach me? And then knowing all these truths about your Heavenly Father, I think that should give you joy in sharing the good news with everyone who does not know God as their Heavenly Father. I mean, it is good news. It is very good news that we can be adopted, we can be forgiven for our sins and adopted into God's family and have a personal relationship with our Creator. It's very good news. We should never lose sight of that. And I also want to say, if you are here this morning and you realize that God, He's not your Heavenly Father, that you have never repented for your sins, you have never placed your faith in Christ, and you have never been adopted into God's family, I just urge you, let the kindness of God draw you to your knees. Seek forgiveness in Christ and then come to know God as your Heavenly Father today. And if that's you, honestly, I would love to talk with you after the meeting today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you that you do relate to us as our Heavenly Father. And as we look at your word today and as we consider these truths about you, I pray that it may warm our hearts towards you. I pray, Father, that if there are anyone here who has had a misconception of how you relate to us, that such misconception will be completely gone after today. I pray that we may be drawn close to you and know you more intimately and deeper after today. Father, we are so grateful that you are such a great God who is so great and so powerful and yet so near and so close. I pray that this message may have comforted us this morning. And help us, Father, always to live for your glory. Help us to seek you, Father. And help us to be bold ambassador with the good news. Oh, Father, we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.